Would you join with me in prayer? O God, in your love you created us, and in your mercy you have redeemed us in Jesus Christ, whom you sent to be the fulfillment of your teaching. Send us your Spirit so that as we hear the life-giving words of your law, we might remember your grace and give thanks with lives that honor you and bless our neighbors. Amen. Over the years, as a dad, I've spent some time thinking about rules. I think about rules that are reasonable, which are worth fighting over, and which rules can give way. So there are rules that have to do with safety, right? When the kids are really young, such as not walking in the street or a parking lot without holding a grown-up's hand. And then there are rules that have to do with respect, like what kind of tone of voice is allowed when talking to parents and other adults. And then there are rules that establish routines and regularity and predictability, like what time the TV needs to be shut off. There's just nothing inherently right or wrong about the time. It's just helpful to have a clear expectation. All relationships need rules. All relationships have rules, whether or not they're spoken aloud or written down. In order to feel safe and at home with another person, we need to know what's expected of us and what we can expect in return. But the relationship always exists before the rules. Your children are your children before you ask anything of them. And they're still your children, even if they run into the parking lot on their own, even if they talk back, or if they do anything else to raise your blood pressure. The rules that parents make they're not there to provide a way for the children to win their love. At least I hope they aren't. The rules themselves are a way of expressing love, providing a home for children to be safe and grow. And in healthy relationships between adults, too, the rules are negotiated rather than imposed. In most couples, the partners each need some time to themselves, but there's no right answer to how much alone time is enough or too much. One older woman I know had a busy schedule between the half dozen clubs and her church, and she told me that the saying in her circle of friends is, when you get married, you promise to take your husband for better or for worse, but not for lunch. So you negotiate a rule that works because you care about each other. The rules serve the relationship rather than the other way around. This fall, we're reading through stories of the Bible in order and so that we get a sense of the story of God and God's people as the Bible tells it. So today, we skip forward in the story of Exodus to the Ten Commandments, maybe the most famous rules that there are. But it's really important, and I can't stress this enough, to notice that the Bible doesn't begin with the Ten Commandments. It doesn't start there. You can imagine the story being told in a very different way, like maybe Adam and Eve wake up in the garden and there's the tablets of the Ten Commandments sitting next to them. Or God could have approached Abraham and Sarah, whose story we heard about a few weeks ago, and told them, I'm looking for a family to be my special people, but these Ten Commandments are my conditions. Look them over, and if you agree, sign on the dotted line, and then I'll be your God and you'll be my people. God could have made the Ten Commandments the price of freeing the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. But God didn't do any of that. God moved first. God created the world and established a relationship with its people long before the Ten Commandments came along. God rescued the Israelites from slavery and, as we heard last week, led them in a miraculous escape from the Egyptian army through the sea, before God even asked anything of them. This practice of saving and blessing people who did nothing to deserve or earn it just because God loves them has a name. We call it grace. God says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. God is gracious. God wants to bless and save. the purpose of the rules that follow is not to get God's attention. They already have it. Or to earn God's blessing. It's already been given. All of that is already baked into the relationship that God established when God heard their cries and liberated them. But precisely because of what God has done for them, this is a special people. And God wants them to be set apart. Precisely because they've been blessed and favored by God, it just wouldn't be proper for them to be completely indistinguishable from all the other peoples of the world. So here's what God says in our passage today. You shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. The purpose of all the rules that follow is to set apart the people of Israel, to mark them as a distinct people dedicated for service. They are a priestly kingdom. The job of a priest was to represent the people before God, to make offerings for them so that God's blessing would flow not just to the priest, but to all the people. The people of Israel are being given commandments, these rules, because the distinct way of life they're going to lead will be part of God's plan to bless the whole world. When God tells them to have no other gods, make no images, respect God's name, keep the Sabbath, honor father and mother, not kill, not commit adultery, not steal, not give false testimony, and not covet, the people are being commissioned for service. The rules exist for the sake of the relationship between God and the people of Israel, a relationship where God is blessing them in order to provide a blessing to the whole world. So we celebrate a God whose love embraces the whole world. And Jesus, in our gospel passage today, tells us he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. In him, the blessing given through the people of Israel was extended to all of us. And so the Apostle Peter uses God's words in Exodus to talk about what it means to be God's special people as the church, the community that Jesus gathered from the wider world. In his letter to the church, he says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people." Strong echoes of what we heard in Exodus. In other words, we're set apart too. We're set apart so that we can tell others what God has done for us, and so that as they see the difference that God has made for us, they'll come to glorify God themselves. Now, in a moment, we'll be installing Dave Voss and Sandy McDonald and Jill Welter as church officers, leaders chosen to help guide this community. And we'll also be receiving Antonio as a new member. And as each of you steps into this new commitment, I want you to remember that before you've taken on any obligation, any discipline, God has lavished mercy and love on you. And that looks different. It looks different in each one of your stories, and only you know all the details of what that means in your life. But I want you to remember that God's love is the starting line for your race, not the finish. You are running with God's grace, not after it. So there's no way that you can miss it or fail to reach it. We each run our race not to win God's love as a kind of prize, but out of the joy and gratitude that God's love has already brought us. So we can embrace God's rules. We can embrace the Ten Commandments as a new way of living together with God and neighbor, not because we need to win God's blessing, but because God has already given it. We can embrace our calling to call attention to the ways our lives have been transformed by grace, how we've been healed and given purpose and new life through Jesus Christ. We can live as a people set apart by grace to be a priestly nation, a means for God's blessing to flow through us to others. May all of you, loved by God, be a beacon for others to be drawn to the love that found you first. May you, blessed by God, be a blessing to others. May you live, each of you, as the beloved child of God you are, set apart as one loved and saved and transformed, so that everyone might see and glorify God in you. Amen.